is going to be well, because the Lord is still in control. It's not you and I, but it's Him that's watching over us, giving us all things whatsoever that we stand in need of today. In the book of Luke is where we'll be reading from tonight, in the 14th chapter. And we certainly ask that you pray for us for the time that will be before you. Book of Luke, the 14th chapter. We appreciate each and every one of you tonight for these kids singing these songs, and just for the privilege of being able to see all of you again another time. And while we stand, if you'd like to, for the reading of God's Word in this 14th chapter. And go with me, if you would, starting at verse 16 and reading from there in this 14th chapter. And it says, "Then they said unto him, A certain man made a great supper. Or then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Pray, have me excuse. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done that thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." And stop reading there with that 23rd verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And I'd like to use as a text for the message tonight, excuses. And none of us are without them, are we not? But the Bible says that this man had made a great supper, and he had bid many to come. And as the day got closer, I have to take from this that this was not just a last-minute plan. This had been planned for some time. And as the day got there and the things were ready, he sent out to tell them that all things are now ready. Come and eat. And people began to make excuse after excuse of why that they could not come. It's almost like it is today, is it not, when you invite people to come to church with you? And many of them say they will come. But then excuses began to flare up. And the Bible says that this man, when he was sent out to tell him it was ready, the one that made excuse, he bought a piece of land, and he must go and see it. And this excuse is about like many of ours. Have you ever made an excuse and then looked back and saw that it wouldn't hold water? What man would buy a piece of land without ever seeing it? You understand how our excuses just don't hold up. Another had said that he had bought 5 yoke of oxen, and he needed to go prove them. Again, that would be like today buying a car without ever driving it, not knowing what you're getting. And these oxen, even though they may look good, I've seen a lot of good-looking cars, but they wouldn't run. These oxen may have looked good, but if they wouldn't work, they wasn't any good to him. Another said that he had married and have him excused. And as you think about that, and when you get married, the Bible says that your lives become one. And already he made excuse that he couldn't go because of his marriage. All of these excuses, as Granny used to say, wouldn't hold water. Because they knew about it. They knew that that day was coming. Just like our people today know that the day is coming when the trump of God is going to sound and time shall be no more. What excuse will they offer on that day? As they said unto Jesus when he was here, they said, Lord, did we not prophesy thy name? And did we not cast out demons in thy name? And thy name done many wonderful works? But he said, I would say unto them at that day, Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. For I never knew you. And it's not just these 3 people. We go back through the Bible, and the Bible has given us many times that people used excuses. You remember back in the garden, Adam and Eve used excuses of why they failed to please God. And it started out that Adam blamed God. And people say, I don't remember that. Adam blamed a woman. And he said, Lord, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, it was the woman that you gave me that caused me to do that. And I put this in, then I'll move on. Nobody can make us do anything that we don't want to do. Young and old alike need to remember that. The devil can't even make you do something that you don't want to do. But he finds a little bit of ground to move in, and then the next thing you know, you're looking back and saying, why did I do that? The Bible also says, you remember Moses made excuses before God. He said that when God told him he was going to go and lead his people out from underneath bondage, he said, who am I? He says, I can't even speak. I got a stammering tongue. Moses was educated in the best of schools, if you'll have it. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. And he had the best of all the tutors. He was an eloquent man. But when it was called upon by God to go and deliver his people, all of a sudden he had some problems speaking. But like so many of our excuses today, God said, okay, if that's your excuse, then I'll take it away from you. I'll send a mouthpiece with you. Your brother can go and he'll speak in your stead. See, God can take our excuses away from us. That's why I've always preached over the years, you need to be careful what you're using as an excuse. God's liable just to take it away from you. The Bible also says that Aaron began to make excuses. You remember when Moses was up on the mountain speaking with God, and the people come to Aaron, and because Aaron didn't have any backbone to stand upon the word of God and stand upon God's promises and tell the people, look what God has already done for us. They wanted a God that they could see, a God that they could touch and worship. So what they did is they took the gold, they melted down and made a golden calf. And when trouble come, Aaron made excuses. It was your people that wanted me to do this. And folks, we can't blame our faults, our failures on anybody but ourselves. One of the things that really gets me is when somebody gets in trouble and they want to blame brothers and sisters, they want to blame mom and dad, they want to blame things that happened to them 20, 30, 40 years ago as the reason why they did it. Again, folks, we're accountable for ourselves. And every one of us has had hard times. There's been folks in our churches and churches across the land that people have gone through a lot of things. But with the help of God, we all can persevere and go through it and come out better than we was when we went into that situation. The best thing we can do is just quit making excuses and start following God and what He says for us to do. And I didn't come to preach on the church tonight. I come to preach on excuses. Because there's not an excuse that you and I have that will hold up. Bible says also, you remember in 1 Kings about Gideon. He needed an excuse. God told him to move and he said, Lord, if you really want me to do this, give me a sign. I needed a sign made to show me that it's of you. When God says move, we don't need to make an excuse. We just need to say as Samuel did, here am I, Lord. Or as the prophet did when he said, here, my Lord, send me. Instead of making excuses. How many times has God laid something on your heart? And I said I didn't come to preach to the church, but I got to follow the Lord. How many times has God laid something on your heart, and before you turned around, you'd already made excuse not to do it? Singing of a song, a testimony, just to call somebody or talk to them on the phone. Maybe to testify. Maybe just to give praise and honor unto God. And the next thing you know, the moment has left because God's Spirit, the Bible says, will not always dwell, will not always strive with us. When God says move, that's when we need to move. Because I can remember times even in my own Christian life that God say move and I'd wait till the song was over. I'd wait until the singing was over. And then God had left. And people say, well, God doesn't leave. No, but God knew that it needed to be done right then, not later. The Bible also says, you remember old Naaman. the man that had leprosy. And when God, through the prophet, told him to go down and wash in the river, he said, I have better rivers back in my own homeland. And he wants me to go down and wash in this nasty river. See, many of us ask God for a miracle. We ask God to move in our lives. And then when God tells us how simple it is to receive it, we start making excuses. Had he not went down in Jordan and washed seven times, he would have died from leprosy. See, instead of making excuses, we ought to just open up and say, Lord, let me receive what it is that you have in store for me. The Bible also says about Jeremiah. When God called him and told him to go speak to his people, he said, I am but a child. How can I speak to these great people? But you know, Jeremiah was one of the greatest prophets in the Word of God, the major prophets, because he followed God. If we'll take away our excuses, we'll find ourselves doing things that we never before imagined that we could do, just by taking our excuses away. And I can relate with this. Yesterday, I needed to do some work around the house. And you know what we... Or no, Friday as well. Well, almost every day, right? And you know what? We make the excuse, I'll wait till it cools down a little bit. And I shared with somebody this morning after church, or tonight, Sister Lee and I was talking, because the first song was a hard song. And I said that a few years ago, how many of you like me that used to, when you had a task or task that needed to be performed, you look at them and you do the easy one first and then lead up to the hard one, right? And I shared with Sister Lee that here in my latter years, I'm trying to reverse the role. I try to attack the hardest one first and then work down to the easiest ones. You know why? Because then I have something to look forward to. If I get that hard one out of the way, I won't be dreading it as much. Or I will not do the easy ones and then make an excuse not to do the hard task. We learn as we grow, do we not? And I ask you and me, because I used to have all kinds of excuses. And I ask, you know, all of us that, as we grow, that we try to quit using excuses, because when you stop using excuses, that's when things will get done. And you'll see a difference in your life as well. Not just spiritually, but physically as well. You remember in the book of Acts, the 24th chapter with Felix. He began to make excuses. King Agrippa made excuses. One said, Paul, much learning has made you mad. He said, you go your way, and when I have a more convenient season, then I'll call for you. See his excuse? I believe what you're preaching. I believe what you're teaching, but when I have a more convenient time. And that's the way my family is, and many of your family. They're waiting for that convenient time to start going to church. To start getting in church and working for God. They're making excuses that when I get all this stuff behind me, then I can get in church and work. Not knowing that that day may never come. Or the reason that they're using for their excuse, God might just take it away from them. Folks, we have no time to make excuses. I remember my grandpa and granny, when they would speak to us and something needed to be done, they'd say, just go do it. Let's do it. They didn't make excuses because they knew if they didn't do it, it would not get done. How many of you's got gardens? If you don't work in it, the weeds will take over. If you use the excuse, I'll wait till it cools down. Here lately, you don't know if it's going to cool down. Or two, it might come a shower. And then it's too late. Don't put off till tomorrow what needs to be done today. How many of you are procrastinators? I didn't know I had that many. You know what we do as procrastinators? We use excuses to put it off. And people must think, well, Roger, you've got everything done. I've got a laundry list a mile long. And I think probably all of us do of things that needs to be done. And I find the more excuses I make not to do them, the worse it gets. And there are things that in a natural realm that if I would have taken care of weeks or months ago, it'd been less problems than me making excuses to keep putting it off. You know what's going to happen when I finally get there? It's going to be more work than it would have been if I would have fixed it when I first spotted it. We don't need to make excuses. Bible also teaches us, and I like this, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, 11th through the 14th verses, it teaches us that there is no excuse for making an excuse. Think about that. Isn't that something? We use excuses why we can't do these things. And the very ones that was invited to this supper, the very ones that used all these excuses why they couldn't, missed out on the blessing that this master had worked to put together for this supper. But just like God, just because we make excuses why we can't, doesn't mean that the supper isn't going to go on. And God's will be done on earth. Whether you do it or I do it, or whether we make an excuse and somebody else does it. I don't want somebody else to get my blessing. You ought not want somebody else to get your blessing. Because you see, as these three groups made excuses, the Bible says that he sent them out and told them about this, all these excuses. And he says, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. You see, God can take you and I out because of our excuses and put somebody else in our place that can receive the glory that God wants you and I to have. Does that make sense? God can give to somebody else the blessing that he wants to give to us if we allow excuses to get in our way. Some folks use excuses to say, well, he's not there or she's not there. This one ain't going to be there or that one ain't going to be there. And I know that's not good English. God's saying, it's not who's there and who's not there. Quit making excuses and just follow what I say to you. And we've got folks in my family and your family and even in our churches across the land that make more excuses. Hey, has anybody got anything in your life that you need to do that you just dread doing? I mean, you dread it. And I have to confess, I'm one of the most guilty of this. I'll find every excuse in the world to keep me from going doing that which I need to do. Especially if I hate to do it. Right? And people say, how bad can it be? How many of you like to go to the dentist? I see a couple hands that likes to go. I dread to go to the dentist. I dread to go to doctors. And as Larry and I talked this morning, part of my dread is you don't know if you're going to get a good one or a quack. And we use that as an excuse. But instead of us putting things off, and this is a spiritual lesson, but it's also a natural lesson. Brother Ron, instead of us putting things off and making an excuse why we don't do it, we ought to just follow our hearts and move as God says move. And when things need to be done on the natural realm, we ought to just get up and go do it and put it behind us. Because I like at the end of the day when you can look back and see what you accomplished. When I look back at a day and I don't see that I accomplished anything, I wonder what I did. I'll say this and I'll move on. How many of you worked hard all day long and looked back and wondered what you did? Work hard all day long and look back and can't see much difference. Sometimes it's like beating the ground with a hoe. All it does is bounce off of it and you're just beating your brains out. Not getting much done at all. I guess what the writer's teaching us, and we ought to take to heart, is that we ought to stop making excuses and just move. Instead of us putting it off and making an excuse why we can't, well, I'll just do it and get it out of the way. On a natural realm and on a spiritual realm, when God says move, we ought to move, not making excuses. Every one of these that I've given to you tonight did, or if these did, because they made excuses, he brought in those that wasn't originally invited to that supper. Can you see the spiritual comparison here? You and I are invited to the supper because those that were originally invited did not show, would not come. Because the Jews began to make excuse after excuse, God said, send it out to the Gentiles. Send it out to the dogs and let them come in. See, how many folks would invite those that are poor and maimed and halt and blind to their dinner? This was a festive time. But because those that was originally invited would not come, he said, go out and bring those that may not be fit, bring those in for this supper. And we ought to be able to rejoice that the first group made excuses. And because of that, you and I are now invited to this great supper. And then he said, but yet, Master, we've brought all those in, and yet there's more room. And then he said, go out one more time. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. God is still sending the word out. Bring in those that society has rejected. Bring in those that have sinned great sins. Bring in those that are Jews, Gentiles, Greeks alike. All that would come, let them come that my house may be filled. And folks, God is going to get the praise and the honor and the glory that he is worthy of. You and I can make excuses all day long, but he's going to get it. Because you remember what he said. He said, if my people won't praise me, he said, I can have the trees to sing songs of praise. I can have the rocks to cry out to my praise. And the sad thing is that every one of them could have gone to this supper, but because they made excuses. Can you see, and some of you can relate with this, how your people that are lost, how your people that are out of church began to make excuse why they can't come. Invited so many folks to homecoming. And of all those that were invited, only a few came. Only a few. And I know, and I'm speaking for all of us, we invited a bunch of folks and only a few came. But you know what? It didn't stop us from receiving the blessing that God had in store for our homecoming. And it's no different than every other time that we meet at the house of God. Instead of us making excuses why we can't go, we ought to look at it like this. You know, I told this church and churches for several years now, I'm afraid to miss a service. You know why? Because somebody might just get my blessing. I'm afraid not to go because something great might just happen and I won't be there to witness it. You see, what excites me is when God does great things in your life. When we stop using excuses, that's when God can work. That's when God can move. And I like what was said here a few weeks ago by Brother Jim. They've been praying for Jerry for a long time. And you know, the devil can give you excuses. You've prayed for years and years and nothing's happened. Some of you ladies, the devil could use that same excuse on you. You've prayed for years and years and nothing has happened. But Jim said that him and Willie was talking and they've changed their prayer request. Because you see, Jerry's dad has a big influence on his life. And they started praying that Jerry's dad would get saved. Because if Jerry's dad gets saved, it might just lead to Jerry getting saved. Instead of using excuses that the devil would give them, they looked at a new avenue that God opened their eyes to. You and I today, we ought not make excuses. I can't make excuses for my people. I've got family that said they were saved, and some of them, as far as I know, haven't been in church in years. And you know, Brother Bill, the thing that really saddens me is that they've got children and grandchildren that are not being raised in the house of God. And folks, let me tell you, we are accountable. Every one of us is accountable for what we do for God. He says that we'll give an account for every word spoken and for every idle word. And can I put this in and I'll close tonight? We'll give an account for every excuse that we offered up to God. But it'll be too late to fix it. Too late. We cannot go back and change what happened yesterday. Yesterday is gone. I can't even change what happened this morning. I can't change what happened even a half hour ago. It's done. But I'm not going to make an excuse of why I can't make tomorrow better than what today was. Why that I can't serve God better tomorrow than I did today. People say, well, tomorrow's Monday. How are you going to serve Him? We don't even have church. If you have to go to church to serve God, you need to get right with God. Can I just say it like that? Because, Jeff, we can worship Him when we're out working in the yard. I used to farm, and I've shared with the church over the years, some of my greatest blessings when I was out there working on a day like this day, trying to hoe a field of tobacco. And that ground so hard that I thought it was the hoe, and I took it to the truck, and I sharpened it and went back and got the same results. You hit it, and it would bounce, almost like you was hitting rock. But you know what? Even in those hot days out there hoeing tobacco, the Lord kept. I've told the church over the years, some of my best messages I've ever preached was in a tobacco field with nobody there but me and God. And people say, how can you get such a blessing out of that? Because you see, God can take you beyond the circumstance that you're in and show you where He's able to take you. Tonight, if we'll just stop using excuses and just move. Terry, would you get a song? And Jeff, get Jeff to come out. You know your heart. And you say, well, if I go tonight to pray, they'll think that I'm going because I use excuses. And let me tell you, actually, every one of us could be on the altar. Because we've all used excuses. As Granny would say, that didn't hold water. We used excuses why we didn't go to church. We use excuses why we didn't sing, why we didn't testify, why we didn't go pray. We use excuses why we didn't just have a good time in the house of the Lord. On the natural realm, there's a lot of things that should have been done, but because we use excuses, Debbie, it's still not done. And every one of us can say amen to that. We'll wait for a cooler time. And then when it gets cooler out, we'll wait for it to get a little warmer. We ought to just move. When God says move, when it's upon our heart. Because you know what? I find this, and then I'll close tonight. When I have my mind in tune to what I need to do, I find it goes so much better on a natural realm. And the same thing on a spiritual realm. When I come to church, just can't wait for the opening song. You know what? It drives the devil crazy. Because he knows that, Violet, no matter what excuse he gives us, it's not going to be very good because we've gone for the right reason. And that is to magnify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, there's no excuse for making an excuse. I like that, don't you? No excuse. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song, how is it with your life tonight? Whatever excuse it is that you've been offering up, it's not going to work. You need to put it behind you and just step out. And just ask God to help you tonight. So many folks say, I know I need to get right, but I've got this coming up, or I'm doing that, and I need to get past that before I can get right. God's saying that that's no good. What would happen if your life was to come to an end before that day come, what would you do then? What would you do? Some that say, I know that I need to be a better Christian, and I plan on it someday. What if that day never comes? We do not read where Felix or Agrippa ever got right with God. Their excuse might just very well have taken them to hell and destruction because they didn't get right. Don't let the devil's excuses take you to that awful place. Stop making it an excuse and just follow your heart tonight. And Christians, we don't have time to be making excuses. Too much that needs to be done. Today is the day. Now is the time that we need to be working for God. Yes. Yes. God bless you tonight. You can see how these excuses wasn't very good, was it, Ron? They weren't very good at all. But I can look back on some of the excuses that I made and see these were pretty good compared to some I've used. But either way, they're no good. Yes. Don't let the devil offer you yet another excuse for tonight. Amen and amen. We don't have time to be making excuses. No time at all. Time's getting away from us. And the Bible says if we're going to work, we need to work while it's day, because the night's coming when no man can work. And I know that's in our spiritual realm, but Terry, there's a day coming. I know people that have a great desire to do a lot of good work in the church. But you know what's happened? Time's got away from them. And they have a great desire, but the body just won't allow them. So folks, if we're ever going to be dedicated to God, if we're ever going to work for God, we need to do it while we have our health and strength to be able to do so. Because it's not always going to be like this. In the past 4 or 5 years, how many of you know that you can't do what you used to do? Amen. We all know that. And you know what? The desire is there. And I'm talking on a physical realm. The desire is there. I'm getting to be like Jim Puckett tells me often. He says he used to work on cars. He used to work around the house. He says, I just don't have a desire to do it anymore. And he said, you know what? I don't. You know, as we look around us, we can make every excuse in the world. But it's not going to work. It's not going to work with those things that we need to get done. It's not going to work with God. Amen. I hope you got something from the message tonight. And that you stop making excuses. Sound like a word of correction, but really it's a word of exhortation. I want us to get past excuses and just start doing what God wants us to do. And it'll be a blessing to all of us. We need to have a business meeting. All right. Why don't we just postpone it? How many of you want to just postpone the business meeting for tonight? I was looking around to make sure we had 7 guys here. And it's a holiday weekend. We'll just postpone it. Nothing going on. Is that all right? So that's fine. Whenever you want to do it.
2 weeks.
All right. I'm not making an excuse, am I? I got to listen to my own preaching. Amen. Oh, Lord help us. You see how easy it is. All right. God bless you. I want you to have a great time with your family and friends. I want you to enjoy life and enjoy today, even as hot as it is. You know what? Cecil and I have talked about this before. When I have something to do and it's really hot out and I dread it, oh man, I make excuse. But Billy, you know what we find? When you get out there and you start that first drop of sweat, it gets better, I think. Anyway, you've started. God bless you. Have a great 4th of July. And remember what you're celebrating. And remember that it's all honor and glory unto God for what He has done for us. And enjoy the 4th of July. Come back and be with us here on Wednesday night, expecting great things to happen. And don't make no excuse. Okay? Come back Wednesday night, expecting great things to happen in the house of the Lord. God bless you, and yours is our prayer.